Hey, I'm Shauna Coronado from ShaunaCoronado.com, and you're listening to the Rose Chat Podcast. I love it.
It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at ManureTea.com.
We are honored to welcome William Radler to the show. If you don't recognize the name, we're sure you'll recognize his roses. He's the breeder of the phenomenally popular Knockout Rose. His creations have forever changed the way that we think about rose gardening.
Will has literally spent a lifetime in the rose garden, and he's here tonight to share this fascinating story. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Rose Chat Radio is a proud media sponsor of the American Rose Society's Fall National Convention, taking place September 10th to the 13th in Syracuse, New York. Michael Marriott, Alon Mayon, Will Radler, and Thomas Prohl will be speaking, and the country's preeminent rose exhibitors will compete for top honors. There's something for all lovers of roses at the ARS Fall National Convention. Register soon at newyorkroses.org. Your friends at Rose Chat Radio will love to see you there.
Well, it's time to talk roses, and welcome to Rose Chat, Will.
I'm really happy to be here.
Well, we're so happy to have you, and we want to be some of the first to congratulate you on your wins at the recent Biltmore International Rose Trials.
Yes, it's thrilling to keep on winning awards for roses that I love creating.
Now, the big winners there for you were Peachy King and Foxy Baby, and these are beautiful roses. And it was our pleasure to get to be there to be a part of such a special day. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, Will, is it true that you bought your first rose at age 9?
I thought it was age 12, but years ago my mother corrected me, and she said, as good mothers do, I should know because you bought it with your allowance. And at that time, the full weekly allowance that you got paid for the total amount of the rose bush. So you had only one penny to spare, and you weren't saving money like your brother was.
When it comes to roses, it's hard for us to save our money. We want to spend it on those beautiful plants. And so you got started at the age of 9. So I'm sure dealing with the Milwaukee winters, that taught you a lot about growing roses, but obviously you were not easily discouraged. So what motivated you to breed roses?
I tend to get very involved in whatever I do. And when I started growing roses, I had to have every single color, every single fragrance, every single type, and this on a teenager's budget. It was a little difficult to do with the lack of money, so I learned how to propagate roses, and growing roses from seed was one of the things to do. Nobody was doing that, not in the amateur world at that time, just professionals. But I wanted to know it all, and as I was learning all that I needed to know from my mentors at that time, which were people in their golden years, I found out they were cutting back on their hobby because the hobby entailed a lot of work, and they were tired of doing the work. And I said, that isn't going to happen to me, not in my retirement years. So I set a goal to breed low-maintenance roses back when I was probably 14 or 16 years old.
That is so wonderful that you had people to mentor you and that you were so in tune to what they were going through that you projected that into what you were doing at the time. That is a very strong connection that you had with them, and all of us growing these beautiful roses that you cultivated, we are very much in your debt. Now, I'm thinking about the phenomenal success of the Knockout Rose. Did you have any idea that this was going to be the one?
I had no idea. When I was breeding Knockout, the roses that I had used for the hardiness and disease resistance qualities were this odd shade of red, the odd shade of red that Knockout is. And just about all my seedlings were coming out that color, and red is not my favorite color, no matter what. And all the effort in breeding red roses at that time was to breed very bright fire engine red roses. Crimson mm-hmm. roses were the thing that was standard, and here I was getting this odd bluish red color in all my seedlings. Mm-hmm. So, no, I never expected it to take off like it did.
How long did this process take from start to getting the Knockout in commerce?
There were 8 years of breeding work involved, and what I do is make preliminary crosses of all different types, save the best seedlings and recross them, and sometimes add more bloodlines into the crosses and keep on crossing the best with the best. And in 1988, one of my seedlings, which I called Knockout's mom, and one of my seedlings that I called Knockout's dad, I crossed those and bingo.
Wow, it just worked. I can't imagine what it's like for you when you drive down the street and you see all of these beautiful roses that are something that they're yours. You did this. I just can't even imagine what that would be like. So, wow, exciting. Now, we know it as Knockout. Was it always going to be Knockout? Was that the original name, or is that the only name that you thought about giving?
Well, actually, I didn't come up with the name. The marketing people at Star Roses chose the name, and out of courtesy to me, they called me to make sure that I would approve, and their first choice for a name was Razzleberry, and I didn't like that, but I didn't think I should tell them that I didn't like it. So I just thought, well, maybe it'll be okay. And 2 weeks later, I got a call back, and Angela told me that they couldn't use the name Razzleberry because it was already trademarked. And I'm, you know, in the phone doing nonverbal whoop-de-doos and yay. And she said, well, we've come up with another name. We don't think it's as good, but what do you think of Knockout? And there I'm going, whoop-de-doo, this is great. You know, and I go, oh, yeah, I think that'll work.
Wow. Well, it did work.
You know, Knockout is just sort of a household word around where I live, and you know, I just couldn't imagine that being Razzleberry.
Not as good.
Yeah.
Well, Knockout had such a big impact. You know, Razzleberry seems a little soft for how Knockout really changed the rose world. It did. It just knocked us out. So I think that it's a much powerful, much more fitting name. I'm so glad for a trademark issue.
Me too. Yes, it got even more interesting than that because a friend of mine called me up soon after the rose was released, and instead of saying hello, when I said hello, she said, "How could you?" And I couldn't recognize the voice at first, and I said, "Well, how could I what? And who is this?" And she said, "Well, you know who this is. This is Kathleen." And I said, "Well, hello, Kathleen. Now, it seems like there's a problem." And she said, "You know, you're a bad speller, but I didn't expect you to misspell your first rose introduction." And I said, "I don't think it's misspelled." And she said, "Yes, it is. You meant the, whoa, that's a real good-looking woman. She's a knockout. And what you used was the spelling for the prize-fighting knockout." And I thought, oh, no, she's got to be making this up. There's a difference in spelling there? Well, the Star Roses people must also be bad spellers like I was, because she was right. So I notified them, Star Roses, about the problem, and they said, "Well, it's too late to do anything about that. Everything's, you know, legal. The name is registered. We can't go back now." And the next thing I hear at the first trade show where they were featuring Knockout to all the garden centers and wholesalers, they had a decorated booth with a prize fighting theme, and all the salespeople had black eyes.
So that's genius.
So now we know. Two words is prize fighting. One word is, wow, really something else.
Well, either way, this rose, it changed the way we look at roses today. It certainly made an impact. So, okay, tell us some of your other roses you have on the market today.
Well, I have about 30 low-maintenance roses, and the cream of the crop gets the knockout name, but that doesn't mean the rest of them aren't really good roses. And mm-hmm. some of these are climbers, some of them are fragrant. My goal is to continue coming up with all different roses. Two of the new ones for this year is a white double landscape rose called Ice Cap. And you mm-hmm. already mentioned one of the other ones, Peachy Keen, which is mm-hmm. A little larger flower than Knockout. And it's a light pink with a warm cast to it.
It's a very pretty color. I love the color of Peachy King. I'm so glad that we got to see that. It's very pretty.
And
I love the warm tone.
One of the unusual things of my roses, which I don't really get to see because I have all the sister seedlings and the parents all around me all the time, so I'm used to seeing all this. But one of the people at Star Roses said, "We have finally realized one quality about your roses that makes them different than just about everybody else's roses out there. Yours bloom at least a week or two earlier than all the other roses out there." And I paused and thought, and I said, "Oh, I think they're right." And that extends the season a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got, you know, I can't stop with Knockout. I've got to get something even better than Knockout down the line. So if I can extend that season even earlier, that would
mm-hmm.
be another coup for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that would be great.
Teresa and I were over in Little Rock earlier this year at P. Allen Smith's Moss Mountain Farm and saw a rose there, Milwaukee Calatrava. and fell in love with that rose.
Good. I did too. Sorry about the name on it, but a lot of people don't know that I come from my hometown, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And we have a fantastic art center designed by an architect with the last name Calatrava. And it looks like either a dolphin or a seagull. The building actually moves. It's quite stunning, and it's pure white. And so the art museum approached me saying they'd like one of my roses to commemorate the, I think it was the 12th anniversary of the construction of the art center. And so I came up with the name Milwaukee's Calatrava. And it's my hope that through the rose, our art center will also get better known. And I think one of the reasons why it might be one of your favorite roses is the fragrance, I'm hoping.
Oh, absolutely. When the way Alan has his garden laid out, that you know, he has the white roses all around these brick pilasters in the garden, and you know, your eyes immediately drawn to them. Well, I was, you know, I had to go immediately cool them and put my nose in the rose, and wonderfully fragrant. I tell you, it's a fantastic rose.
So we can have our cake and eat it too. Low maintenance roses that are fragrant.
Now, is that something that you try to work into your breeding program? I know there are a lot of folks that say, well, if you get disease resistance, you can't always have fragrance. And I know you've spent a lot of time crossing roses. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, another one of my roses is Orchid Romance, which looks like an old garden rose on a new garden plant. The leaves look like they're highly polished, and the blooms have a very nice scent. And so that's two of my roses that are fragrant, but there's quite a few more. One of the knockouts, Sunny Knockout, is quite fragrant. My climber, Morning Magic, one of the new roses for next year coming out, Honey Nectar, is quite fragrant. And another climber of mine called Bright Eyes is quite fragrant. And it's really a simple matter in breeding. You just have to include a fragrant rose in the background. That almost guarantees you fragrance. And sometimes you're lucky enough to cross two non-fragrant roses and you get a fragrant rose. So what I like to tell people, this breeding of roses is the best form of gambling I know of. It doesn't cost that much money, and you get all these personal rewards of satisfaction, and you get all these mysterious seedlings that either look exactly like the parents or don't look anything at all like the parents. It is so much fun.
Well, before we can let you go, we have to ask the master, who's having so much fun, what tips would you give to someone who wants to try hybridizing?
There's an organization, an amateur organization on the internet called the Rose Hybridizers Association. The membership fee is ridiculously low, and four times a year you get a newsletter where members submit articles that are informative and help you with your breeding. And just about any rose book that that has been made usually has a chapter about breeding roses. You can pick all kinds of information up, and the bottom line is make it fun. Gardening mm-hmm. is meant to be fun, and breeding plants, breeding roses, it opens the dynamics of gardening to a great opportunity for having even more fun. And in my case, I got lucky and I hit the jackpot.
You sure did.
Well, Will, thank you so much for taking some time out of your, I know, busy schedule to chat with us today. We really appreciate your presence here.
Thank you. Thank you. I enjoyed talking to you.
Can't wait to see what you do next.
Me either.
Just keep having fun, Will. Just keep having fun.
I am.
Well, friends, we've come to the end of another broadcast of the Rose Chat Podcast. Now, if you'd like to meet Will Radler or Teresa and myself this fall in September in Syracuse, New York at the ARS Fall Nationals, you can find out more at newyorkroses.org. Until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.